you were saying God was kind of directing you to go into that park to look for your home, and you said, well, the thing was, at that point, I only had $10 in the bank. But she didn't let that, she didn't let that thought reason her out of obeying God. Amen? She did it anyway. She obeyed the voice of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Glory to God. Let's pray before we get started. Father God, we just come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for a wonderful night that we've already been having. And right now, Father God, that you will bless this word for everybody in this place tonight, Father God. Let it feed our spirit. Lord, that it will be the milk of the word, but Lord, also that it will be the meat of the word, Father God. And we receive it right now by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so last Sunday, I did speak, and I spoke about being battle ready. So I just wanted to recap on that a little bit. And if we could, can we turn these down just a little bit? I'm sorry. Thank you. Just a tad bit. It's a little bit easier to read. All right, so I talked about Abraham defeating the four kings from afar off, and then that the four kings had defeated the five kings, but they took his nephew Lot, and Abraham came in and defeated them all. We also heard that Genesis 14:14, and when Abraham heard that his brother, which we know is his nephew, was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, and he and his servants by night, and smote them. God gave him a plan, amen. Pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus, and he brought back all the goods. He also brought again his brother Lot, all his goods, the women also, and the people. And the one thing that we talked about on Sunday was that he, Abraham, heard that his brother was taken. He armed his trained servants, meaning that beforehand he had trained those men up in the art of war. He also made all the weapons beforehand. He was battle ready. Amen. So, hallelujah. Let's go down here. So I had Reed come up, and he talked about some things about knowing your enemy, knowing who you are in Christ, but also knowing your enemy. And it was really good. And then also, so basically know your enemy. And then point number two was also to be trained up, to be practiced up in the things that, in the Word of God and different things that we need to know offhand. Because when something happens, when a battle hits, we need to be ready. We need to be battle ready with those things. Amen. All right, I'm going to skip down. So I was kind of praying and asking God, what else do we need to know about this, Lord? What else? And Ricky and I started talking and things, and he said, you know what? I remember being in the Army, and they actually assigned you a battle buddy. Can you guys say battle buddy? Kind of fun. You know, you think of these, like, you know, war heroes, and then they get assigned a battle buddy. So I just think that's kind of funny. And also, actually, and I noticed this in your testimony, Miss Elvie, is that you called on your battle buddies. You called on the people that you knew were strong people to stand with you when you were believing God for something. That's a battle buddy, you guys. That is a battle buddy. All right, so I wanted to see a little bit more into this battle buddy system and why they started into this. So they coined this term after 9/11 because they were going into kind of a new territory and different things were happening, and so they put these battle buddies together. Now, they wrote down a list of reasons why, or benefits. So, a battle buddy reduces the rate of injury to themselves and to others. All right, so we're thinking the kingdom of God now, right? We're not thinking like natural, we're thinking the kingdom of God. And you can also think of when you are new in Christ, when you are a baby Christian, you need that battle buddy. And your battle buddy might be, you know, on speed dial, like, oh, I need to give this person a call, because there's going to be times. Yeah, so it reduces the rate of injury to themselves and to others. Buddies keep each other informed about key instructions and information. Promotes cooperative problem solving, right? Increase morale. That's what we're doing all in here on Wednesday nights and Sundays. It increases our morale. Encourages soldiers and motivates, increases confidence. It decreases stress. And actually, there is, and my dad had done this in a sermon not too, well, maybe a couple years ago now, but how being a Christian does have
physical benefits for our mind, for our emotions, for our blood pressure, for whatever. There are some documented things that the community, the doctor community, knows about being a Christian. It does decrease stress. Eases transition, this says, to the military lifestyle. How about eases transition to the Christian lifestyle? Because that can be a major change. That can be a major change. And it does, you do need a battle buddy to say, you know what, let's clean up the your words a little bit. You need to kind of maybe clean this up a little bit, or that, or whatever the thing may be right then and there. Improve safety in training and combat. All right, this is somebody, your battle buddy is a little bit more seasoned in things. So they maybe have been through combat maybe once or twice. They know how to stand on the word. Amen. Promotes better leadership skills, and it makes sure no one is left out. Hallelujah. We are the body of Christ. Amen. Okay, and I did find this on one of the, this was on an army website. It says, it's been proven that dumb stuff happens less often. They actually had that on there. It's been proven that dumb stuff happens less often. So, you know, you can just imagine those little babes in Christ where they just don't know any better, and then you just need to clean them up and everything else. And yeah, so sometimes it happens, but less often. So also one of the things that I was looking up is when, and actually Ricky had found this earlier today, actually, and he's like, oh, I have to tell you about this. And it was so good. But when there's one oxen, they can pull their own amount of body weight. But an interesting thing happens when there's two oxen that are connected in a yoke. They can actually pull, so one oxen, their body weight is from 1,500 to 3,000, okay? When you get a team of oxen, they actually can pull two times their body weight, which is an interesting thing. So they can pull 12,000 to 13,000. So from one person doing it alone, and you're trying to trug along, but when you get a battle buddy with you, it goes smoother, it goes faster, you're more accurate with the word, you can get things done. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to look at some buddies in the Bible. So let's turn over to Daniel 3. Daniel 3, 1. All right, let's go down to Daniel 3, 7. Actually, I'll read 3, 1 first to kind of put us where we're at. So King Nebuchadnezzar the king, and I'm reading out of the Amplified, caused to be made an image of gold whose height was 6 cubits or 90 feet. Now you guys tell me, each story, like if you have like a two-story house or a three-story house, or if there's a hotel that's 5 stories tall, does that usually mean each story is about 10 feet high? Is that kind of the idea of 8 and 9 feet high? Okay, so yeah, we can kind of tell. It says 6 cubits, which is 90 feet out of the Amplified Bible. It says 90 feet high. So that's pretty high. This is actually a lot taller than I thought it was. 90 feet high. His height is 60, is it 90 feet? 90 feet? Okay. All right. 90 feet, and its breadth, 6 cubits or 9 feet. So that's where you got the 9. Or 9 feet. So it's 9 feet wide, 90 feet tall. Wow, that's made of gold. Okay. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Let's skip down to verse 8. Therefore, at the time, certain men of Chaldean descent came near and brought malicious accusations against the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, dulcimer, or bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Verse 11, and that whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews, whom you have appointed and set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your God or worship the golden image which you have set up. So let me back it up a little bit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were taken captive out of Israel, and now they are in Babylon. So we can think about this. They're buddies. They're battle buddies. They have been captured. They have, against their will, now they are in Babylon. Now the favor of God was on their life, and they were over a province, and they were leaders. But they decided they would not bow. Verse 12, these men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. 13, the Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these men were brought before the king. Then Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I set up? If you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, dulcimer, bagpipe, or every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image which I have made, very good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast at once into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God who can deliver you out of my hands? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, hallelujah, it is not necessary. Amen. It is not necessary for us here in our world, here in the things that's happening in our life. It's not necessary for us to get choked up when another bill comes in the mail. Amen. It's not necessary for us to get all flustered about this or that, or something happening, or you didn't get that raise, or you feel sick again, or whatever. We need to be strong like them. We need to be calling on our battle buddies and saying, okay, this is what he's saying, but we're standing together. We are locked arms, and we are standing together against this, and we are speaking to that situation, amen? So it is not necessary for us to answer you on this point, amen? If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship your golden image which you have set up. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not bowing. We're not going to get our emotions all tangled up. We're not going to get all flustered. We're not going to be saying the wrong things about this. We're not going to, whatever the case may be in your life, we're not going to be bowing down. We're not going to be giving in. We're not going to be letting Satan take an inch. When we were going through a whole year that I was out of work, we didn't know how we were going to pay the bills. And God did it every single month, over and over and over again. And there's a point where you say, wow, okay, God, there's a point where it gets easier. You're like, God's going to do it again. I know he is, because he's done it, for 7 months now, over and over and over again. Hallelujah. All right. So this is what happened. Verse 20, and he commanded the strongest men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these three men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their undergarments, their turbans, and their other clothing, and they were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame and sparks from the fire killed those men who handled Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, and he jumped up and said to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Hallelujah. They answered, true, O king. He answered, behold, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. Hallelujah. Glory. Guess what? Other people in your life are going to see the goodness of God. Other people are going to say, how did she pay for that car? How did she pay for that house? How did they get through that again? They didn't get that raise. How did they go on that vacation? How are they doing this with their kids? You know, how are they able to bless that family with groceries? Whatever is going on. Guess what? Other people that need to see the goodness of God are going to be seeing those things. They're going to see this. It's a testimony unto them. And God loves to show off. Amen. Hallelujah. And then have you ever felt like that there, when you are going through the fire, that there is another man in the fire with you? That there is a comforter, that Jesus is right there next to you, that you know you're walking through this right now, and it is hard, and it is deadly, and it is hot, and it is ugly, but there is another man in the fire with you. Amen. And he's going to bring you out, and he's going to, you might go through the fire, but you're going to smell like heaven. Amen. You're going to walk out of there, you know, don't even have to dust yourself off. There's no soot on you. Your hair's still looking good. You don't even smell like fire. And it's going to be another testimony to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So that's an example of having a battle buddy. That's an example of them locking arms and saying, we're going this together. None of us are going to be bowing down to that idol. We don't have to. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go down to Luke 5:17. Amen. There's been plenty of times that I've given Tiana a call back there, just like, you know, things are happening, and she's a good battle buddy. She's a good battle buddy. I know I've called also Pastor Christine and just been, and you know, they just settle you down. They like wake you up. They like, okay, this is what's happening. We're gonna get back with it. And I should have printed out. I actually should have put it on my computer. But there was this picture of this battle buddy, and there's one man that's kind of down. They're all like army geared up, and they have their guns and everything. And then one man has his gun kind of still up, and he's being kind of dragged by this other guy that has his gun up and stuff. And that's how it is sometimes. Sometimes we're down. Sometimes we're you know, barely crawling along. But your battle buddy's like, okay, here we go. We're gonna get through this. I'm pulling you along. I'm gonna help you out. And that's what we need, amen? Glory to God. That's what the body of Christ is all about. Amen. Luke 5:17. One day, as he was preaching, this is Jesus, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Can you guys say the power of the Lord was present? Amen. The power of the Lord was present to heal, present with him to heal. Amen. Some men came carrying on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed, and they tried to bring him in and lay him down in front of Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and removed some of the tiles to make an opening. That's some serious battle, buddy. You have a paralyzed man. And then you have some friends, and it said some friends, they think that it's probably about five. It could be 4 to 5 people. We just like to say, you know, have your 5 crazy friends that will help you. Amen. Get your 5 crazy friends. And they started ripping off that tile roof. They were probably done carrying around their friend on that cot. And they said, this is the day. And they started tearing up that roof, and they brought him before Jesus. All right, so here we are. And lowered him through the tiles with his stretcher in the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Verse 20, when Jesus saw their active faith, that means their faith that's doing something about it, their active faith, springing from confidence in him. In who? In Jesus. Amen. He said, man, your sins are forgiven. The scribes and the Pharisees began to consider and question and the implications of what he had said, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies by claiming the rights of prerogatives of God, who can forgive sins, that it is removes guilt, nullifies sin's penalty, and assigns righteousness, except God alone. But Jesus, knowing their hostile thoughts, answered them, why are you questioning these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, get up and walk? But in order that you may know that the Son of God, the Messiah, Messiah has authority and power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man. We can only imagine what's going on right now. He is saying this, and you could probably tell that's revving up. He's getting revved up right now, and he looks back over to that paralyzed man, and he says, to you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. Hallelujah. What do you think that man did? He immediately stood up before them, picking up his stretcher, and went home glorifying and praising God. Amen. How many know we would all be doing that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And this should be active in our life all the time. There should be demonstrations and miracles in our life all the time. Glory to God. They were all astonished. They began glorifying God. So that means the people that were the naysayers before, it says they were all astonished, and they began glorifying God, and they were filled with reverential fear and kept saying, we have seen the wonderful and incredible, we have seen wonderful and incredible things today. Hallelujah, glory to God. So what if you don't have a battle buddy? You need to start thinking about that tonight. You need to see, okay, if something happens, if I need to stand up and get in the word and stand in faith, and all of a sudden your life is upside down, or this happens or that happens, or maybe you're just believing God for something, who's your battle buddy? You need to find your battle buddy. You need to find somebody. Say, hey, I need you to hook up with me on this. This is what's happening. This is what I'm believing for. We get a scripture together, and then we see it through. Amen? Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 4:10. Amen. Glory to God. Ecclesiastes 4:10. There we go. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and does not have another to lift him up. But I want to say the good news tonight is that Jesus has sent his comforter, and it's the Holy Spirit, and he is the ultimate battle buddy. He's going to tell you things to come. He's going to show you. He's going to say, hey, let's go this way instead of that way. He's going to show you things in the Word that you've never seen before. He's your advocate. Hallelujah. He's the ultimate battle buddy. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Hallelujah. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Glory to God. It dwells in, say, it dwells in me. It dwells in me. Let's look at someone else and say, hey, it dwells in me. It dwells in me. The Spirit of God. Wow. If we could only get a scratch off the top of that. If we could just get just an inkling of what that would really mean. The God that created this earth, the God that created the oceans, the God that created the mountains. Wow. Lives in us. Wow. Hallelujah. John 14:26. But the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit. Glory. Hallelujah. Whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and the acts on my behalf. He will teach you all things. He will help you remember everything that I have told you. That's his job, you guys. And he lives on the inside of us. He's helping us. He is our battle buddy. He is there for us. He is showing us when something goes down. He's picking us up. He's dragging us out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm going to read this list one more time, and we're going to kind of think about this one more time. So a battle buddy, this is what we're supposed to do, you guys, because we're going to step up. We're going to find a battle buddy, amen? This is reducing the rate of injury to themselves and to others. That means in some natural things, too. When you know, hey, you know what? I heard you were back at the bar. Let's talk about this. Let's see where you are with things. Let's get this going. Let's, you know, Call them up. Be there with them. Encourage them. So it reduces rate of injury to themselves and to others. Battle buddies keep each other informed about key instructions and information. You're going to be able to call them up and say, hey, do you remember that? When they said that, when they read that scripture, isn't there a scripture like this? Maybe this is what you need to do. Maybe this, will this help me? Whatever it tends to be, it could just be talking about the good things of the Lord. It could be just encouraging one another. It keeps others informed about key instructions and information. Promotes cooperative problem solving. This really comes in handy when you need to call your battle buddy and you're, okay, so right now, this is what's happening. What do I do? And they're going to help you through it, amen. Increases morale. That's what we're all doing here tonight. Hallelujah. It encourages and motivates, increases confidence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It decreases stress. Amen. It eases transition into the Christian lifestyle, if I can say it like that. Hallelujah. Your battle buddy needs to be someone a little bit more seasoned, needs to be somebody that's going to show you the things of walking, being a Christ follower. Amen. Improves safety in training and combat. Hallelujah. They might say, no, this is how we need to handle things. We need to get a scripture here. We need to do this here. That might be a little bit over your head this way. Let's call pastors on this. They're going to help you with that. Improve safety in training and combat. Promotes better leadership skills and make sure no one is left out. Because hallelujah, how many know we are the body of Christ? It doesn't matter if you are an arm or if you're the little bone in your ear. Everybody has a position. Everybody has something that we need to be doing. Amen. Glory to God. So are we going to be battle ready? Amen. We are going to be battle ready, and we're going to look for our battle buddy. We are. We're going to ask God, Lord, who do I need to hook up with for the things that come in my life? Amen. Hallelujah. So glory to God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for this time in your word. Thank you, Father God, that you have put people around us. You have put people around us to help us in this natural world, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that we will be battle ready, that we're going to be trained up. We're going to be practiced up. We're going to be studying the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we are going to know who we are in Christ. We're going to know our authority, and we are going to know the enemy and what he's going to be trying to do, and keep our eyes open and guard ourselves. It says, guard your heart. Lord, we will do that. Thank you, Father God, for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these testimonies. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, you are good. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is on the inside of us, the helper, the comforter. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.